if you've got your Bible, go ahead and turn to Daniel chapter 2. In the last few Wednesdays in the youth department, we've been looking, and as Brother Neil would say, walking through the book of Daniel. And can anybody tell me what the book of Daniel is about? It's about what? What's it about? No, it's not. It's not about Daniel. You know, for so long, a lot of people think the book of Daniel is about Daniel. It's about God's faith and God's sovereignty and how he can bless us when we, with the right heart and the right attitude and the right motives, come to him. You know, and we're going to see a situation tonight in chapter 2. And what we have here, to give you a little background, what has happened is King Nebuchadnezzar has had a dream. And the dream he's had has got him worried, perplexed, whatever you want to call it. So he has called upon all the magicians and sorcerers and different people that are supposed to be the wise people. And he's trying to figure out what this dream means. And yet can't nobody tell him what it means. Well, then here you have Daniel, and he's got three friends. And we're going to start this in chapter 2, starting in verse 10. It says, "The Chaldeans answered the king and said, 'There is not a man on earth who can meet the king's demands.'" Now, I got circled "man on earth," because what the king is asking is I need somebody to tell me what my dream is. And backing up just a little bit, he said, "I'm not going to tell you what I dreamed. I just want you to tell me the interpretation of it. That way I know if you're telling me the truth or not." And I was kind of perplexed about that myself. Because even King Nebuchadnezzar, through all of this, he's sitting there having this dream, and he's trying to figure out what it is, but yet I don't think he really understands what's going on here. And then Daniel comes in. And I'm going to start after that. It says, "For no great powerful king has asked such a thing of any magician or enchanter or Chaldean," or however how you say that. "The thing that is the king asks is difficult, and no one can show it to the king except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh." In verse 12 it says, "Because of this, the king was angry and very furious and commanded that all the wise men of Babylon be destroyed. So the decree went out, and the wise men were about to be killed. And they sought Daniel and his companions to kill them. Then Daniel replied with prudence and discretion to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, who had gone to kill the wise men of Babylon. He declared to Arioch, the king's captain, 'Why is the decree of the king so urgent?'" Daniel has an issue. You have to stop and think. Daniel was about 16 years old when all this is taking place. I could imagine what my son at 16 years old, if somebody said, "We're coming to kill you," I'm sure he would get pretty upset. You know, so Daniel and his three friends are sitting here with, okay, we're considered one of the wise men. Because if you go back to chapter 1, that's where they was taken, and that's where the king went and sought the wisest and the youngest and the best, like the best people, the best men, and he groomed them, so to speak. Well, here you have Daniel. He's like, why is he wanting to do this? Why is this such a big deal? He goes on to say, "Then Arioch made the matter known to Daniel, and Daniel went in and requested the king to appoint him a time that he might show the interpretation to the king." So basically, the captain goes up and says, this is what the deal is. He told Daniel, and Daniel's like, okay, I'm going to request the king to give me a certain amount of time, and I'll be able to tell him what his dream was. Now, this is what I want us to get out of tonight. Starting in verse 17, it says, "Then Daniel went to his house and made the matter known to Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, who are also known as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and told them to seek mercy from God." First of all, the first thing I want us to get out of tonight is he went to his friends. He had friends that loved God also that he could go to. I tell the kids all the time, it's important to surround yourself with people that believe the way you do when it comes to who God is. Because you can surround yourself with a lot of different people. But when it comes to who God is and what God is and what God can do in your life, it's important to have those people you can go to and have those friends that kind of think the same way you do. And that's what Daniel did. He went to him and said, hey, this is what we're faced with. Just like living into society today, we're faced with a bunch of stuff today. You know, Brother Neil touched on it this morning. Every time you turn on the TV, it's there. Every time you look anywhere, you see the unrest, the hate. It's easy for somebody to form an opinion. And I'll just say opinion is a nice way to put it. I have to admit, for me personally, one of my shortcomings, every time I see Black Lives Matter, I get upset. I get frustrated. Because I see all the senseless stuff going on out there, and yet I'm like, don't they get it? But then I have to stop myself. God said, love them, not what they do. And I have to stop myself a lot of times and say, even though I don't like what they do, I need to love them and show them that. So Daniel went to his friends. And then let's look at the second thing they did. In verse 18, it says, and told them to seek mercy from the God of heaven. He asked them to seek mercy. What do you think seek mercy means? To pray. We as Christians, a lot of times, I know me. I don't know about you, but I know me. There's sometimes I'm faced with situations, the first thing I do isn't pray. I try to handle it myself sometimes. And 9 times out of 10, it blows up in my face. When I stop and pray, number one, it takes me out of the picture. And I allow God to say, hey, this is what we need to do. And when I do that, I see his work more and more and more every day. It comes down to this, when we as a church, when we as individuals, when we stop and pray, when we're faced with a situation, the upcoming election, you know, pray about it. When it comes to these different groups, pray about it. Take you out of the picture. You know, there's a situation going on right now at one of our sister churches. I talked to one of those people this afternoon. And I said, the only thing I'm going to ask is when y'all walk through that door, take yourselves out of the situation and let God's will be done. Because if you walk in there with an attitude of this is what I want, it's going to blow up in your face. Daniel could have easily went and done whatever he wanted to. His friends could have done whatever they wanted to. But they stopped and they prayed. And listen what happened. He said, concerning the mystery, so that Daniel and his companions might not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision of the night. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. How many times do we pray for something, God grants it to us, and we never give him the honor and the glory and the praise for it? Too many times we get caught up in the aftermath, I guess. And we don't give God the glory he's due. I mean, we just sung about how good God is. And yet we get so caught up in everything in the world going on, we don't stop and say, God, we give you the glory and honor and praise. It ain't about us. It ain't about me. This ain't about me. It's about you and who you are. You know, and as Christians, that's one thing I want to encourage you tonight. Never stop giving God the glory. Because every day, the reason we get to open our eyes and have breath in our lungs is because of him. Plain and simple. For us to be allowed to take a step, for us to be able to allow to go to a job, for us to be able to have a family, whatever it is, give him the glory for it. And I have to ask for forgiveness a lot of times because I get caught up just like everybody else. And I have to stop and say, this ain't my family. This is yours, God. This ain't my job. This is yours. You know, and when we stop and do that, just like, I mean, Daniel, the first thing he did when God granted him what he needed was thank him. And this is how he thanked him. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, to whom belong wisdom and might. He changes the times and the season. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. To you, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise. For you have given me wisdom and might, and have now made known to me what we ask of you. For you have made known to us the king's matter." He just thanked God for giving him what he wanted. My grandmother was one of the most godly women that I've ever known. And in her Bible, you go through her Bible and look, and there will be a name. It might be my name, my sister's name, whoever, that she's been praying for. And there'll be a date, and sometimes there'll be another date. And I asked her one time, I said, "Granny, I said, why do you keep writing names down in your Bible, and there's sometimes one date, sometimes there's two dates?" She said, "Well, the first date's when I started praying for that person in a certain issue. And the second date is when God answered that." Now, sometimes it was the same date. It'd be two dates, but it'd be the same date. But I noticed there was a time when there was one name and there was a date, and the next date was 12 years later. God still answered it. But he answered it in his time, in his purpose, and according to his will. And see, that's what we have to understand. Yeah, he answered Daniel immediately, but it ain't always like that. And then we stop and ask sometimes, "Well, God, where are you at in all this?" I was telling them this morning in Sunday school. When we start asking that, I have to start asking myself, what am I showing to other people? When we have to start asking, "God, where are you at in all this is going on in society today?" First question you ask, where's the church at? What are we showing people? Am I out there hooping, hollering, screaming, and griping just like everybody else? Or am I out there loving on people, loving on the Black Lives Matter people? You know, I mean, I admit it, that's a sore subject with me. But I have to stop and say, "God, it ain't about me." You know, and it comes down to it that when we honor God, because that's what Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were doing. They were honoring God the whole time. And the reason I said the book of Daniel ain't about Daniel is because everything that Daniel does in this book honors God. It ain't about Daniel getting the praise. It ain't about Daniel getting the glory. It ain't about Daniel getting the honor. It's about God getting it. And that's what we have to stand for. I don't know about you, but I fall way short on that a lot of times. And I have to ask myself, why? I'm just like anybody else. I get on the old poor, pitiful me sometimes. I get aggravated sometimes. I mean, it's just, we could use the excuse for human, but it's also about the relationship. And when the relationship we have with God, just like with Daniel, Daniel's relationship was strong during this time. And I know when I start having those moments is when my relationship ain't quite where it needs to be. I might have got so busy where I hadn't been in the Word like I needed to be, or I hadn't been talking to him like I need to. And I know a lot of times when that happens, I have to ask for forgiveness, because that's where I'm falling short. You know, I told him also this morning, ever since I took this new job back in July, I have to admit, a lot of the men that I work with, apparently a lot of them was in situations in their lives, and there ain't a whole lot of stuff around where I work at that they call stuff. Most of it's called by another name, and that I can't say and won't say. And this one particular guy that I work with, he sits there, and when I first started working there, about every other word come out of his mouth was a cuss word. And we got to talking one day. And he said, "What made you want to come to work here?" I said, "I don't know. I've seen the ad one day and prayed about it for a few minutes, and God said, call him." And the minute I said God's name, you could see the look on his face. And I told him, I said, "But you know what?" I said, "It ain't about me. It's about what God wanted for me." And this is, he opened this door and I come through it. You know, and that's the same thing with Daniel. I'm sure if you could have sat and asked Daniel, "Daniel, do you really want to be in this limelight? Do you really want to be in this spotlight at 16 years old?" Probably not. But he was allowing God to use him. And that's another thing we have to understand. We have to allow ourselves to be used by God. Too many times we're like, "Oh, no, God, I don't want to stand up there in front of those people and do that. Oh, no, God, I don't want to do." When we allow ourselves, you never know what kind of blessing that God's going to have on it if you don't just allow yourself. You know, there's been times where I'm like, "You sure, God? I mean, come on. It's me. It's D-Wayne. You know my life." And it's almost like God says, "I wouldn't ask you if I wouldn't. I want you to." And I was like, wow. You know, I'm just, like I tell people, I said, "I'm just a dumb old country boy from Duty Fair, Louisiana, that knows how to drive a tractor really good." And I said, "But if God can use me, he can use anybody." You know, and I tell people that. You know, because I don't never want to say it's, all this is about me. It's not. And I like what it goes on to say. And this is the last thing I want us to get out of tonight. If we start in verse 26, it says, "Then the king declared to Daniel," whose name was, say that for me. There you go. "Are you able to make known to me the dream that I have seen and its interpretation?" Daniel answered the king and said, "No wise men, enchanters, magicians, or astrologers can show the king the mystery that the king has asked. But D-Wayne can't do this. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the later days. Your dream and the visions in your head as you lay in bed are these." That "but" is what we need to understand. Because without God, we can do nothing. With God, you know, a lot of people miss to me, and I'm sure Brother Neil's heard this too, when people talk about that scripture, "All things are possible through Christ." They forget the "through Christ" part. They make it a wish list. It's about him getting the glory and honor and praise, not us. When Daniel said, "But there is a God in heaven," Nebuchadnezzar knew right then. I think he knew right then that Daniel was just an ordinary man, and that there was a God above all gods with a big G, you know, God with a big G above the little gods that could do anything. And when we stop and look at the way society is today, and my grandmother, she was a godly woman, but she was also a worrier. She worried about everything. If the dog blinked, it had a rare disease or something. She worried a lot. But she could say, "My God can fix this." And she believed that. Just like Brother Neil said this morning, it's going to get worse. Our rewards are not here. I look forward to spending eternity in heaven with Jesus. You know, and I ain't going to worry about what I'm going to do when I get there because I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to be praising him. It ain't about asking him why mosquitoes was invented, why fire ants was invented, or any of that stuff. It's going to be about praising and worshiping him. But when I seen that, I got the butt circled. It says, there is a God in heaven who reveals the mysteries. I think too many people stay focused on the mysteries and not the God that can reveal them. And when we would take our focus and put it on the God, Black Lives Matter don't matter no more. The stuff that's out there don't matter no more. Because my God is greater than anything going on right now and could ever go on. And that's what we have to understand. So, church, I just want to encourage you tonight. Don't lose hope. Don't lose faith. You know, and that's what I told the lady I talked to here just a little while ago. God's bigger than this. Y'all just take it to him and he'll show you what to do. Because she was pretty frantic. And she said, you know, I lost sight of that. And I said, we all do. And I said, but God's right there with open arms just waiting for us to fall back into it. And I said, and when we do, we put him first. And we do nothing but seek him. That's when other people see a difference. You know, his word says we ought to be, we're set apart. The only way we're going to be set apart is letting him live through us. Too many times we stand back and then we're no different than anybody else. I know for me, that's the one thing that I've been talking to God about when I've been out there on the farm and doing stuff is just, God, help me be that vessel that you need so if somebody needs to see you, they can. Even if they do know my history, even if they do know my background, they still don't see none of that. They see you. Because I'm telling you, I could sit here and I could rock everybody's mind of what I've done in my life. But it's about Jesus. And that's what I want everybody to see when they see me. And it ain't because I ain't trying to be big or holier than thou or nothing like that. It's just, that's what's wrong today. They've quit seeing Jesus in the church. You know, and I don't know why. I didn't ask why. But God wanted me to talk about this again tonight. But, you know, when I was doing it with the youth, they understand. They see it every day at school. They see it every day at home. And that's where it's got to start at. You know, Brother Neil has a tough job. But it's got to start at home. You know, and when we have God in our homes, anything's possible. I just want to encourage y'all. It's a time we can come together. It's a time we can love on each other, but also mainly love that world that's out there. You know, because it's looking for love. But it's looking for it in all the wrong places. It needs to look at the church, but it needs to look at God. We can show them that. I just want to encourage you, show somebody Jesus. You can tell them about him all day long, but when you show them, that makes an impact. Any comments? Brandy asked me, was I going to keep y'all too late? And I was like, well, I got a two-hour sermon. I guess I'll condense it down to an hour and 45 minutes. So I just want to thank Brother Neil for the opportunity to come speak. You know, I love doing it, but more importantly, I love that God gets the glory from it, and that's what it's about. So I'm going to pray, and you can be dismissed. Father God, Lord Jesus, thank you for this time we just come and study your word. God, just thank you for, Lord, just who you are.